This is Katie and Kate Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kate comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. You are listening to Geek Speak. I'm Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
How'd your trip go, by the way?
You know, 43 hours in the car is just fantastic. That's all I have to say.
Nice.
So I went to, a buddy of mine had a bachelor party in Seattle area. We ended up hiking into a little lake near Mount Rainier called Lake Dewey. Just hung out there for a day. But
that's what they're doing for bachelor parties these days?
Well, if you're an ultramarathoner, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. I was going to say, did they have like a bunch of ultramarathoner strippers?
No.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay. There were no strippers at my bachelor party either. So it may be a thing of the past.
It might be.
You're listening to Geek Speak. This is you can call us at 970-963-2976, and we are here to answer your tech questions. In the meantime, we're going to bore you with all kinds of esoteric nerd speak and information. And actually, I say that with tongue in cheek because we actually have some pretty hot breaking news today about a mercenary spyware attack. I never heard those two words used together, mercenary. Doesn't that mean that the people that are doing it are, like, doing it for money?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, from some foreign government, probably.
All right. Got it.
But yeah. or for some bad actor somewhere that has money.
Got it. So, some of you may have received, basically, iPhone users across 110 countries have received warnings from Apple, directly from Apple, and we'll tell you how to verify whether they're from Apple or not here in just a second. That they have warning individuals they've been specifically targeted by state-sponsored mercenary spyware attacks. And these high-confidence alerts indicate targeted digital surveillance rather than a widespread malware outbreak, which means that they are tracking your location, they're tracking activity on your phone. And I heard a couple of stories, like some soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers that had been targeted by it. If that gives you any clue as to who may be running the back end of that malware or spyware, a couple tips on how to verify the alert. A lot of people have written it off as being a phishing scam or whatever. But let's see. So, to check the official status, if you sign in directly at the Apple account portal, which I believe is just iCloud.com, right?
Yeah,
Matt?
I went to Apple too.
Okay.
So I think all of them will.
And you'll log in using your Apple ID and password, and you will, as soon as you enter that information, you will be alerted as to whether or not you are one of the targeted individuals, according to their information. And you need to watch for phishing. Real alerts from Apple never ask you to click on links, open files, install profiles, or share your password. And that's a good rule of thumb, just generally, whether you're looking at alerts from Apple or anybody, you should be very, very careful about clicking links, opening files, installing profiles. Installing profiles, a lot of people don't realize, just what that's about. You're familiar with this, right, Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically a user. It lives in whichever.
It's kind of like a sub user, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a user that gets installed, and that sub user likes to look at ads and junk, right?
Yes, two things you didn't ask it to do.
Yeah, if you basically install a profile, just so you guys know that what the terminology is here. If a website or something prompts you to install a profile, just say no. You've already got a profile. You don't need any more. That's okay. And you will never be asked to share your password if it's a legitimate email from Apple, an alert from Apple. Legitimate notices appear as a banner on your device's lock screen. Inside your device settings, you may receive an email or on your account page, which we refer back to going to apple.com and logging in using your Apple ID and password, or iCloud.com. So those are, that's your warning for the day. Like, there isn't enough to be afraid of out there. And that kind of took us in the direction of Apple is advising people to turn on what's called lockdown mode in your device privacy and security settings. And this will severely limit the high-risk attack potential. So are you turning yours on right now?
I was going to see, because Apple has a security advisory. I can't remember what they call it, but they have a little wizard you go through, and it says, hey, do you want to do this to improve your security? Do you want to do this to improve your security?
That's good stuff. I'm
trying to remember what it's what that's called. Let's see here. Let's see if it's under privacy and security. Let me see if I can find it. Well, Lily finds a little bit more.
Well, yeah. So, this caused us, because I realized that I know very little about lockdown mode. Generally I steer away from things that might block content that I'm want coming in on my phone. But let's see. So the Apple debuted its lockdown mode for people at particular risk of being targeted by mercenary spyware. There's that term again. The feature is essentially a set of configurations for iOS, that's going to be your phones and iPads, and macOS, that limit or block niceties like link previews in messages and shared albums and photos. Lockdown mode also restricts your device's ability to accept unsolicited communications like FaceTime calls from phone numbers and accounts you've never called before. And this year in iOS 17, Apple added additional improvements, meaning more safety-focused limitations. And they don't go into exactly what those are. However, you know, it sounds to me like fairly safe thing to turn on. And you can always turn it off. I mean, if there's something you're trying to do that it's not allowing you to do, then you can, you know, turn it off and, you know, do an A-B on it, as they say.
Yeah.
So, did you find anything? Did you find a little security wizard?
I'm trying to find it, but I think they had all that. Let me see.
It's all good. They recommend that you, enable lockdown mode, that you can get expert help by contacting the 24/7 Digital Security Emergency Assistant Helpline via Access Now on your phone or Mac for tailored forensic advice. They recommend that you update your software so you're running the latest iOS version or macOS version that your machine can run. And so there you go. That's kind of an unusual article. We don't usually see something like that. People in 110 countries receiving unsolicited reach out from Apple.
From the manufacturer.
Because
for the last 20 years, we've basically said, nope, it's not real. Nope, it's not real. Oh, well, now it's,
yeah. Okay.
Now it's real.
Now it's real.
Yes.
So, so that's something to put on your radar, all you Apple users out there. And I guess this is like one day out of a year that you can celebrate. All you PC users can celebrate the fact that you don't have an Apple. So, because PCs generally tend to be far more vulnerable to this type of stuff. And so that is one article that we're following today. And I'd be interested to I'm going to, you know, when I get a couple minutes.
They call it safety check.
Safety check. Okay.
Yeah. So if you go into your settings and you find a safety check, it'll kind of go through and kind of give you prompts and ask you what you want to do.
Okay. That sounds like really good advice. So, what else is going on out there? I had a couple other articles.
I'm trying to think of what. I had one last week. I was just like, oh, I need to talk about it, but now it's not here.
Got it. Well, you know, I had a favored listener send me a little article that I thought was kind of fun, and it really kind of puts everything in context. And so I'm just going to read this little missive that came off of the internet. There's a strange thing happening with convenience, in quotes. Technology was supposed to remove friction from everyday life. Instead, sometimes it feels like we've just replaced simple transactions with a dozen tiny obligations. See if this sounds familiar. Download the app, create the account, verify your email, accept the cookies, join the rewards program, give us your phone number. All because you wanted to park for 45 minutes or order a cheeseburger. Right?
Right. Yeah, I have so many apps on my phone now that they, you know, the ones I don't use often, it's like, oh, I need this app. And it's like, well, it has a little cloud thing with the download. It's like, oh, let me re-download the app and then fire it up. It's like, they're all doing the same thing. They're all good doing basically web browsers.
You know what's pathetic is I found myself at Home Depot down in Grand Junction, and I couldn't find what I was looking for, and I couldn't find a guy in an orange vest either. So I downloaded the Home Depot app just so I could find out what row and bay the item I was looking for was in.
I do that all the time. I used City Market at Lowe's and the rest.
Yeah.
Ace, whichever one will get you. It's just like, oh, aisle 7. There you go. Done.
Exactly. All right. Continuing on.
Although I wish they do the, because if you look on the floor, a lot of places, each aisle has like a section list. So like,
It's like if you look at, I did not notice this. Yeah.
So like Lowe's, it's really clear, but some of the other ones, it'll tell you like which stall it's in, so you can be like, it's three quarters of the way down on the left.
Got it. They call that a bay. Those, like, the each set of shelves is a bay.
Yep.
So the writer of this article says, I'm not anti-technology. Some of this stuff genuinely makes life easier, but somewhere along the line businesses realized a customer wasn't just something who might buy something. A customer was an email address, a phone number, a location, a purchasing history, a future marketing opportunity. And I think that's why something as simple as handing somebody $20 and walking away almost feels refreshing now. Convenience should make life simpler. If I have to download an app, remember another password, and agree to 6 pages of terms just to give you money, .. And I'm not sure we're using that word correctly anymore. What modern convenience would you happily send back to 2010? That's a rhetorical question. So anyway, I thought that was kind of really, you know, you don't really realize as you're going through the steps, you know, of the, you know, give me your email address, confirm,
right,
accept cookies, all that.
It's all my, I have a trash email account just for all this junk.
Uh-huh. Got it.
So it's like, you don't have my real email address. You have my trash one that has all my, you know, I'm sure all the shopping stuff is being correlated, but
sure.
But it's like some of my shopping stuff is not part of that.
You know what's really pathetic? I had one of those, and I had it for years, and now I have been locked out of it. I tried the wrong password too many times.
Oh man!
And Yahoo said, You cannot use this account anymore. You will never be able to use this account anymore. It's like, it wasn't a do this to recover your account. I'd never seen a message like that, even for a customer.
I've only had one account that happened to. There's like, it's done.
Yeah.
I was like.
Yeah. So those of you who are trying to send email to technophile at yahoo.com, it's not coming through anymore. So, which was actually kind of funny because there's a gentleman out in California who has that same email address except at gmail.com, and somebody at several of the places, like his daughter's school, I started receiving progress reports for his daughter. And we've become pretty good friends. You know, we know each other on a first name basis now, except that now I'm no longer a member I'm not no longer in the fold. I'm no longer a technophile anymore, you know. So once again, 970-963-2976. The name of the show is Geek Speak, and we are not fooling around about that. So
I saw a couple of Linux birthdays. Debian has turned 33.
Wow.
And what was it? Gzip. Let's see. Where did that one go? I saw, Tar is 47 years old, and Gzip is like 32 years old.
Wow.
Like that.
I thought Tar was like millions of years old. Didn't the dinosaurs die in tar pits? You know, I think we got a call coming in. Look at that. Somebody who couldn't stand the babble any longer.
So, you're on with the geeks.
Babble Babble. Hey, geeks, I have a question. I got about a 10-year-old iMac, and I can't seem to update any of the Safari Chrome browser software any further. And I'm wondering if there's any way around not buying a new computer.
I'm sorry to give you a very glib, short answer, but no.
Really?
Yeah, actually, I'll bounce this over to Matt. You know, well, actually, I'll pull back and say that there are some browsers, alternate browsers out there, and Matt probably knows the name of them, but I don't.
So one option, you can see if the current version of Firefox is still supported or current version of Foam, Chrome is still...
Foam? A foam browser?
So
nice. Neither of those are.
Okay, so you want to look for something called... Yeah. So you want to figure out what version of the operating system you have on there, and then you want to find... you want to look up Firefox ESR. Stands for...
Yeah. Extended Service Release.
Yep, Extended Service Release, and find the newest version of that. That will run on your computer, and it'll be supported for several more years, probably, because they are usually supported for 5 to 8 years.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, 'cause my computer's running great. It's just that it shut me down a lot with all my browsing.
You know, there are an incredible number of those iMacs of that particular vintage that are just, they're just solid as a rock, man. They're just, except for this darn outdated software.
Yeah, because...
Baloney. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other option is to switch to a Linux distribution on it and again, go that route.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah. But the ESR will get you down there.
I would hire you.
Go ahead.
Is that something I'd hire you guys to do?
You'd have to hire somebody with tape on their glasses to come over and do that for you, for sure. And
gotcha.
So, but the Firefox ESR should get you a little further down the road.
Okay, and so where do I go to find that? Just look it up.
If you just Google Firefox ESR, Mozilla Firefox, and then ESR.
And then there's one other thing. You'll have to figure out what version of Mac OS X you have and what the newest version, see if the newest version works. Otherwise, they'll have like two or three supported versions older, and you may have to choose one of those. It just depends on exactly where your computer is and where they are right now. So that's all. That's a moving target, and that's just part of it. So you may be able to get the newest. You may have to try the second newest, and it should still be getting security updates.
Excellent. So then I'll just like never click on Safari ever. Just open everything in Firefox. I could set my home page to that and everything.
Exactly. We would have told you that 5 years ago anyway. But I'm just kidding. But
all right.
One quick note before you go, and that is you need to like put on your critical thinking glasses because. Just to make sure, you know, wherever you are going to download something from, make sure that it has a .org extension. Because, you know, these things are going to come from nonprofit or, from, you know, places that are not commercially motivated. And therefore, you're not going to get like a whole clown car full of, malware on your computer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so it'll be firefox.com. /enus/browser/enterprise. But it was the first thing that came up in when I searched for it.
Yep.
So you may have to dig a little deeper, but put on your critical thinking cap if you have to get like the second oldest version.
Okay. I think I could handle that.
All right. Good deal. Well, thanks for the call, man. Have a great one.
Yeah. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
I guess there's, that's one of those. It's like that. There's millions of computers. There's a bunch of 10-year-old plus year old Macs that are still serviceable for browsing and doing normal things.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of things that don't have, TPS. What is it?
The
trusted port. TPM.
Yeah, TPM, trusted platform module. Yes. Yeah.
So, because there's a bunch of old computers that are decent computers, but they don't have the second version of that chip, and Microsoft has said adios. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I've got a 2015 27-inch iMac sitting in the shop, and it just kills me because those are gorgeous computers. I mean, they're just, they it's a nice big 27-inch Retina screen, and you get on it, and every other place you go, it's like, yeah, we can't display this page, or, you know, you need to update this, or, oh, you're out of updates. And, you know, yep. So anyway, yeah, we got a few minutes left. 970-963-2976. That was a great question. And, you know, a lot of people are dealing with that particular issue.
Yep.
And so it's... It's a sad thing. You know, something else that has come across my radar lately that I think we should let people know is that there has been a real glut of seemingly great deals on Windows 11 computers on Amazon and eBay. And I don't know if you've cross paths with this or not, but there are a number of chop shops out there that are just kind of taking and throwing parts together until they come up with something that will boot. and then the main component, the motherboard of the computer that they have just Frankensteined, is not Windows 11 compatible. And so, but what they do is there's a hack that where you can get basically, you can get Windows 11 to load onto a Windows 10 compatible motherboard, and it will run just great until the next Windows update comes along. And then the computer's just a doorstop, you know, at that point. Or you have to go through a lot of mishigas to get it back up and going. So have you come across any of those?
No, when I search for things, I'm still looking for a very particular model. So it's like...
Yeah,
you know, I'm looking for the very particular thing, and if it's, you know, I read the description very closely, and it's like, you know, and then I check to see if the, you know, parts look like they're OEM parts, and if they're not OEM parts, I'm going to call them and be like, this is an OEM.
Yeah. So, well, you know, the place I got burned is because I generally would just offhandedly throw it out there and just say, you know, people would say, what specifications am I looking for? I'd say i5, i7, or i9 processor chip. 512 gigabyte hard drive. This is like just a standard use computer, you know.
Right.
8 to 16 gigs of RAM. You know, I would just offhandedly throw those specifications out there, and then just in the last month, I've had two customers get a hold of these things, and they're just absolute, just crap in a box. Pardon the slur, you know. And so for those of you who are out there shopping. You know, I would say that, you know, like in Amazon, for instance, there are, manufacturer, based stores, you know, like if you're shopping for an Asus computer, you know, it's at the Asus Amazon store, you know, make sure you're buying from places like that. If they, you know, are a third party or like a individual Amazon seller, be very, very careful. Because it's and the return process is torture. They do not answer their emails. They, you know, I think one of them they were successfully able to get back after 2 weeks of fooling around. One of them, they're still waiting.
Yeah.
So it's a full blown scam.
I think that's why I'll stick with eBay and read the description carefully.
Yeah.
Because then you just go, this isn't what I ordered. And eBay just goes, it's now the seller's problem.
Yeah. You know, that's a great delineation. I never really thought about that, but you're right. I mean, the return process in Amazon is very dependent on the responsiveness of the whatever the sub Amazon store is. And if those people want to ghost you, they can, you know. You know, eventually they'll get their, you know, Amazon store pulled. And then they'll just pop up with a different email address and a new name, and proceed doing exactly what they're doing. So, yeah. So, so if any of you are out there shopping for a good deal on a PC, keep all that in mind, and you know, just be very critical of you know, look at the reviews of the web store, you know, and don't just look at the number, look at the breakdown, you know, because, you know, 3,300 reviews is 3,300 reviews, and if 2,900 of them are bad, so yeah, you gotta drill down and look a little bit deeper. So anyway,
that's just like go ahead there. So
yeah, we're getting close. So, but let's see. Do not go out and gamble on predictions markets. right?
Oh boy, yeah,
yeah. I mean, the upcoming elections getting ready to turn into a full blown casino experience.
Did you hear about the PBS 9 that was working with a vendor to do storage, and the vendor went out of business, and then they sued the actual storage, the upstream storage vendor. So the judge has put together a framework to recover that 50 terabytes of 70 years of archival footage for them.
Really?
Yes.
And what's the outlook? Are they thinking it's gonna happen? Or is it gonna come through?
I'm assuming that the upstream storage provider probably has legal holds in, you know, we need to put a legal hold on this, and just sitting there going, okay, let's figure it out. So hopefully they can get that all together.
Well, that's a really good argument for, you know, not getting into some sort of a cloud arrangement with a like off-brand, you know, type of company. You know, as much as I hate, you know, supporting the big corps, that's one instance where you need some.
Well, you need
data security.
Well, you need to be doing 3-2-1 backup, three copies, two different mediums, one different, you know, in different locations. Mm-hmm. So,
exactly.
Then you just go, oh, our storage vendor went away. Oh well, we have another one.
Yeah, yeah.
So
exactly.
I'm still
grieving the loss of Bulldog Backup. Man, that was the best thing that ever happened to me for a long time.
There you go.
But they did just disappear.
Uh-huh. I mean,
it was just like, yeah, server's not here anymore.
We're done.
It's like, boom. So anyway, right. You know what that music means.
Yep, you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
You're welcome. And we'll be back on September 7th.
Wow.
A little while.
In the meantime, don't touch your knob.